This is the In This League Fantasy Podcast Network. In This League Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Online at inthisleague.com. Subscribe to the show on iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. Interact and follow the show on Twitter at InThisLeaguePod. Now, here's your hosts, Bogman and the Welsh.
Welcome, friends, to the In This League Fantasy Baseball Podcast. I am the Welsh. That is the Bogman, and we are in this league, and we are back to talk about all of the baseball with the stuff and the
Okay.
There's actually a really bad correlation to that with a certain baseball player that nobody ever wants to play with again. Voldemort, if you will. It is week something. I think in our world of how we've been titling them, this would be week 18. But 18. I think it might be 19. Baseball is very confusing with their weeks and how they throw them out and how it's considered. But all of that aside, we're
officially longer than a football season, by the way. That's
we are.
If we're a week 18 or 19, we're over overtime on a football season for sure.
That's how we keep rocking. We have many weeks that are stacking top of each other. Obviously, news and notes. Going to go through and take a look at who has been hot since the break. So this is a since the break look. And of course, you got waivers in there, but it is trade season. This is the week. There is less than, we're recording this, five and a half days, essentially, of trade deadline. I mean, usually it's kind of midday and it's going to be on July 31st. So yeah, you got 5 days left in the trade deadline. And you have stuff and things already going down. So we are going to do a little breakdown of a few of the weird trades that have happened. But to the credit, you and I have gone back and forth about what we thought this trade deadline would be. And we're seeing some different names. We're seeing some bigger names, actually, that have gone through. Not some of the they're not all Rich Hill trades, which we'll talk about.
Just so we're 100% clear, the deadline, and I didn't know this. I thought it was the 31st every year. It's the 30th. At 4 p.m.
Oh, it's the 30th.
The 30th. So Friday at 1 hour time for East Coast.
Ooh, okay. So, 4 p.m. Eastern Friday is a trade deadline, and you've already got some big names.
Right on it.
We're going to talk a little bit about that in anticipation, and then our next episode will be closer, and then we'll probably have to have some reactionary thing. But friends, if you guys want to hang out with the audio universe that is in this league, you want to support us, whatever it is, if you want the prospect list, if you want to hang out in the GroupMe rooms, if you want our comedy secret shows, if you want all the stuff, if you want everything, if you are like, I want it now, what was the Veruca? If you're Veruca Salt. If that's who you are and you want it and you want it all and you want it now, you can have it at patreon.com/ITL Army. It's like it's our Willy Wonka. Like Bogman is like the Willy Wonka. Maybe
I'm Willy Wonka.
If we want to really go with
call me an Oompa Loompa, I'm going to strangle you to death.
All right.
So I know that's not where you're going.
That was clearly not where I was going to go. So I'll just move on. I totally had another point, but now that point doesn't make any sense. Yeah, I wasn't going to say for proportionately height reasons.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. No, you weren't. So that's good.
I wasn't. But our Wonka Factory is our Patreon. So come and sign up and get in the glass elevator and fly around with all the happiness that is Bogman and the Welsh. Patreon.com/ITL Army.
So happy.
Sign up. And you got a new month coming up starting next week with all new rank updates, which you guys can check in on. Comedy secret shows, live streams, another break event that I'll be doing next month. And there should, and also the live stream is coming up and it will be part of August of the Bogman Leaves Arizona and Leaves Me dinner at Olive Garden, the live Olive Garden stream for all the bets that I and Jag have lost to Bogman. He will be actually, I only owe you one meal now through all the bets. So that's where we're at now.
And then Jag owes me one. So,
so you'll be two meal. You'll be double fisting it at Olive Garden.
That's right.
Yeah. Double,
like
double
real white trash.
Alfredo bowling.
That's right.
Yeah. Double Alfredo bowling it, as we call it. So, I mean, the only type of content, unique content you can get live streaming at an Olive Garden, that will be on our Patreon. That'll be for next month. So come and check out Support Your Boys.
The only content creator at all that people don't mind seeing eat while the show is going on.
We'll have
the only one. It's me and Guy Fieri. So
You could do the beard.
I could.
You should. Will you dye your beard?
No, I will not.
How can we get you to dye your beard?
I mean, I'd have to lose some crazy kind of bet.
Ooh. The wheels are turning. Yeah. You guys know the drill.
I think dyeing my beard would require you growing your hair out to shoulder length. Like, that would have to be the crossover. So
yeah, I mean, I personally don't have a problem with it, but, like, you know, I'm married, and, like, if I grow my facial hair out, there's unhappiness with it. But, you know, you could just, like, do a little dye job for a week, and then you could re-dye it.
Yeah, you know what we could do is like something where I dye mine, and you're right, I can always shave it off and regrow it back, or you have to grow your beard out for like 3 months. Let's just see how patchy it would be.
It would be so trashy and patchy, but my wife would be so upset. There isn't a person, like, I actually physically and mentally don't understand relationships where women are okay with the beard. Like, I see the dude with the beard and I'm like, that guy's single. Then he's married and, like, the wife will, I can't understand. My wife gets so mad.
Women are snowflakes. The Welsh, some like the beard, some don't.
No, they all like it, apparently, except my wife. She hates facial hair with a passion. And I don't particularly like the face, and I would like to hide the face with the with the facial hair. I would be something I would love to do. When you have chins, it's so great to have hair there, and I can't do it. So, no, it would be an unhappy household and a very unhappy Welsh, and I would be very snappy for quite some time because I would be it would be bad, bad news. All right, so that's the stuff. You guys know the drill. Thank you for doing the stuff and the things. Trades. We've already had some baseball trades go down, and actually the first one that went down before the quote bigger one or blockbusters or whatever you want to talk about, I'm actually surprised about, and I gotta tell you, I'm more shocked about. I think, you know, we had presented this in the last week or last episode, whatever it was, we were talking about candidates that were out there, and we presented this piece of news, and this player and team were put out there, but I just didn't believe it, and I think you believed it more than me. But Nelson Cruz moving over to the Tampa Bay Rays, you guys know that trade went down. I'm still shocked that it went down, and the acquisition wasn't anything crazy. I mean, Joe Ryan is actually a pretty good pitcher, and he's the type of pitcher that could be in he could be in Minnesota's rotation even up to this year, because there's another rumor going out just attaching to it that was out today, is that the Minnesota Twins are actively listening in on Jose Barrios trades
and discussing him with multiple teams too. So that one almost seems like it's locked in to get done as well.
Well,
so,
and I can't discount it because the Nelson Cruz one was out there, and I was like, I don't know. I mean, I get age, but Minnesota, I felt like, just wasn't far away. I just felt like they were a new season away. So I didn't think they'd blow stuff up. It looks like they're ready to blow stuff up. And Barrios is being rumored one of the teams, the San Diego Padres. They just are going to acquire everybody.
Push those chips in, man. Like, number one, getting Jose Barrios would mean that the Dodgers don't, you know, because we know they're looking for a pitcher because of Voldemort. Sure. And,
Voldemort might
the players want him out too. So, yeah. I mean, we don't have to spend a lot of time talking about him, but you got to push your chips in eventually, and you can see they're right there. I mean, the unfortunate thing of this year for the NL West is that for the Padres and the Dodgers is that the Giants are playing so well, because you look, we talked about all of this during the preseason where the Dodgers were by far the favorite to win their division and the NL, and it's still that way on the betting sites, even though they're behind the Giants. They're 2 games back of the Giants. San Diego's 5.5 back. The two wild card teams right now would be the Dodgers and the Padres. So they're still going to make the playoffs, it looks like.
And the winner would play the Giants.
Right. The winner would play the Giants. The whole NL West is crushing it right now outside of the Rockies and D-backs, obviously.
And it kind of builds to, like, why this deadline can explode a little bit more. I really thought it was going to be more nonchalant, but because I thought there were going to be more teams that thought they were either still close to in it or just didn't want to do enough into next year. But also, here's another thing you got to consider. You know, teams with controllable players. So let's move on. Nelson Cruz, by the way, you know, just doing Nelson Cruz stuff, already two homers with the Rays. Had a homer, I think, in his debut, a homer just the other night. He's doing Nelson Cruz stuff, DHing for the Rays. It took away a little bit of flexibility that the team was using. They actually sent down Taylor Walls as well, and Wander Franco is just going to be the everyday shortstop instead of moving. Because now it's like, you know, Lau, now, you know, you lock him at second. You don't have the flexibility, like literally of where they would move Meadows and Randy Arozarena. You can't do any of that anymore with right. Nelson Cruz. There's no more flexibility with that DH. It's guys in the outfield, so you can't experiment enough, and that's why, you know, they're going to have Meadows and a Arozarena out there.
I kind of like that for them, though. That I feel like that stuff was going a little bit overboard.
Yeah, I agree. Hone them in a little bit, like just reel it in a little bit. So that's fine. That's a good trade. But the big trade that went down was Adam Frazier. Adam Frazier was traded. And you and I were debating this because I felt, if I'm remembering correctly, I felt like you were a little bit more questionable about this because of Frazier's, how controllable he was. But maybe I'm just making that up.
No. I mean, it's just the Pirates overall, too. You know, they hold their prospects down too far. They hold out for trades most of the time because they are a complete bottom feeder, you know. So what difference does it make if they trade Frazier this year or next year? But they got a deal that they like and took it. And, you know, originally someone asked in the group me rooms, do you like him better as an everyday player or, you know, because he's going to go to San Diego and do the super utility bit. And my initial thought was, well, I kind of, even though he's in a better lineup, I kind of like him as an everyday player. But then our guy Bareff or Barwich made a good argument on our group me room about, look, you know, he was batting average, empty batting average, because I think he has 5 homers and 4 swipes.
Opposite. And, he currently is hitting .324 prior to the trade, 4 homers, 5 stolen bases, gotcha. 58 runs and 32 RBIs. By the way, he has only an 8.2% walk rate, but a 10.7% K rate. I mean, he is just the quintessential like leadoff number two guy, like one of those two.
And, you know, I mean, we don't know where he's going to hit yet. I'm sure we'll find out tonight when the lineup comes out. And everything,
but I'm just going to guess as we're recording this, I'm going to guess he is going to be hitting
one or two.
I'm going to guess one. I just think like he's
that's what roster resource has.
It just makes one. All the sense in the world.
And the thing that really flipped me was I was thinking about this. I'm like, okay, yeah, he's empty batting average, but he's a lefty, so he's going to hit against righties. Most starting pitchers are righties, so he's going to be in the lineup most days. And when you look at San Diego, they have 91 swipes. This is yesterday when I looked at it, 91 stolen bases on the year. The next highest club is 68 with the Marlins. So they are running constantly, all the time. So if Frazier's hitting leadoff, they're going to give him the green light. Now, I looked and he's 5 of 9, so he's just a little over 50% on attempts. So he's not the best at stealing bases, but not like he can't get better at it. Not like he won't be on the end of, double steals and stuff like that. So,
you know, it'll be a great question. Teasing again later this week, we've got Derek Carty, creator of The Bat, coming on to talk about kind of just rest of season projections. Right now, all the projection systems are like 3. That's it. There's 3.
Right.
That's fine. And it may not change, but you do have to wonder what will go into and what would it look like if you take Frazier on the Pirates, now put him on the Padres, who are also number one in steals. Like, and if he's leading off, you've got to imagine that number has the potential to come up, because Frazier is just a tough fantasy guy in general, because he was an all-star. He's a big name in a trade. He has a huge batting average. That's fun. But everything else is, like we said, empty. You know, he's projected to not even hit 90 runs this year on any projection system. And he's a total empty homer, stolen base guy. Those are going to be under double digits and 50 home runs. But does San Diego present the possibility that those stolen base numbers, maybe what if he had 8 more and all of a sudden he's, you know, around 13, 14 and he hits 100 runs? You know, there's a possibility that his worth really jumps up even as a super utility player. But the weird thing is when I was just looking over at like NBC Sports Edge, their depth chart they have, just for argument's sake, just playing the game here, they've got Adam Frazier above Cronenworth. And it just, it's a wild world to think that Cronenworth.
There's a rumor right now that they might trade Hosmer and move Cronenworth over to first.
Well, that's where it leads to, because, well, no, it's just, that's where exactly where I was going with it. It's like, I have a hard time believing, because people are going to see that. And I would just throw this out as like a quickie for today, is Cronenworth, as we said, is lining up to be, what was the stat I said in the last episode, where it was like in 2019, there were like 28 guys who were 20 and 10 and five right. of them were post 100. Cronenworth is going to be that this year, that there's no way he's going to dump on value, but there's the potential that someone could be like, man, look at this team now. You know, you got Profar, you got Kim, you got Cronenworth, you got Frazier, and people might want to sell just a little bit low on Cronenworth. I would go buy immediately, because that rumor that they're looking to get rid of Hosmer. And I think it's not just a, there's some financial implications that they're talking about, where it's like, you know, you can go over a little bit, but it's also future concerns of Tatis, is you get him out of there, but it's also because you get him out of there and Cronenworth has an everyday gig if you do that. Yeah. Also, you could say the same thing about Will Myers, where if they could do that to Will Myers, which I actually personally think is much more likely than Hosmer, is then Adam Frazier can then go out and he can play the outfield because he plays that spot, and Cronenworth is your everyday second baseman. So I think Cronenworth is a great buy right now. Well, yeah, sure.
Eric Hosmer just brings so much to the locker room. You know, the guys love him, and that's, you know, he's a big part of Kansas City winning their World Series too. So I think it'd be smarter to move a guy like Myers than it would be Hosmer.
If you can, I totally agree on either side of that. So, you know, Frazier's value goes up in whatever capacity that is. He's still at best a one plus player, a one category player with the potential to be a three category player. He will not be a homer RBI guy. That's just not going to happen. But you could buy a little bit in on the super utility, though I don't think he's any cheaper than he was yesterday. But Cronenworth, I feel, and that's the one. That's the one that sticks out to me. I feel like Cronenworth is the one that could sneakily be just a little bit down on value with all this crazy rotation of players before they go make a move, if they can, you know, dump Hosmer or Myers contract or whatever it's possibly going to be. Now, there are some other rumors. So I'm losing my voice here. There's some other rumors that are going around. Verklempt.
A chickpea is neither a chick nor a pea. Discuss
amongst yourselves. This is why, like, seeing some of these rumors really is showing, like, wow, this deadline is bigger. I think going to be bigger than I really truly anticipated. Not even on this, by the way, is the like a surety from Craig Mish that Starlin Marte will be traded. Like, it is almost 100% that Marte is out, and the Giants are one of those teams. But a big one, man, this would be wild. The Mariners are making a push to acquire Whit Merrifield from the Royals. That. And yeah. Those teams have made some moves before. And they say, and this is would be fascinating, they say that the Frazier deal might be the framework of this. Oh, you know, the other thing we didn't talk about, I moved past it, was Tuukka Peter Murcano was the big trade in the Adam Frazier one, which I think is fascinating because Tuukka Peter Murcano is kind of like an Adam Frazier in that he's like a better bat to ball, you know, like contact type of guy.
Yeah.
There's some power, there's some speed, but he's a high guy with a high batting average guy with, like, you know, minimal counting stats. And he can play not only second base and short, but he can play in the outfield. So he's literally like a younger, more controllable Adam Frazier version that I do think, now I need to throw this out, that I think Murcano, I haven't seen it, but I have to imagine he is going to be thrust in as they got Wilmer in at second base. I think very quickly, if not immediately, Marcano can be the second
baseman. Real well recently. So maybe not immediately, but probably.
Well, I said, if not immediately, it's soon. I think Marcano could get some fantasy value for the rest of this year. And that would be one of those guys. But I just wanted to say that because this idea of Whit being traded to the Mariners, they said this would be a framework. The Frazier deal would be a framework to a Whit Merrifield deal. But I would have to imagine on a bigger scale because, like, Murcano is not one of the top prospects for the Padres. Relatively, when you have an all-star, I think Pirates fans are pretty disappointed. Like, you got Murcano, you got a couple other pieces that don't really mean anything. Royals fans, they got to get something bigger. But I think the idea is there's one main piece with a couple side pieces. So if that were to happen, you know, it's probably going to be along the likes of like a Austin Shinton, I would throw out to people, or Zach DeLoach. That's probably the type. You're not going to get a Kirby. You're not going to get a Hancock. You're not getting any of the top guys. You're probably getting like an Austin Shinton, maybe an Adam Macko, and then something else is what that's going to look like. And that's going to piss Royals fans off. But Whit Merrifield going to the Mariners, because aren't the Mariners, the Royals right are one of the top. But aren't the Mariners a decent steel team? Do you have the Sol Bases up?
No, I don't. I can look that up. But they're 7 games back of Houston in the division, but they're a game and a half back of a wild card spot. So that's why they're pushing their chips in here. But as far as leaders go by team, let me see.
Because the Royals are up there as well. He's in a great spot where he gets to run. He gets to run all day. But I'm feeling like the Mariners are in that as well.
Seattle.
I mean, they don't have a bunch of great stolen bases.
They're 18th, 42 right now. Total. Kansas City's fourth. They have 61. Yeah.
So I don't think that really changes a whole bunch. I think he's still good to go. I think, and he'll get the green light. He'll still. He'll be, you know, probably be leading off, and I think it's a lateral situation if he moves there. Except, you know, maybe they're a little bit more competitive.
You're not
going to
trade for him and then make him quit stealing bases.
No, so. But the thing that it does, I hate to do it, but it probably opens up immediate Bobby Witt. Now, maybe not immediate, but you throw this out here. You know, Nicky Lopez is getting some run in here. You take Witt off this team, or you take Witt off this team.
Witt.
You replace it with a Bobby Witt, who is just back to doing stuff. He's at AAA right now. I would have to imagine August is Bobby Witt month. So, you know, speculative ads have been there. People are, you know, doing their pickups, and this is going to be a great run for Bobby Witt. I had people in one of the leagues, I think it was the Scott White League, trying to get my Bobby Witt off me. And I was just like,
You don't know.
Yeah. I don't like,
I mean,
on,
like, yeah,
on, like
it's so
you're okay. Your okay priced veteran isn't going to do for my awful, awful team. And me getting Bobby Witt building for the future. So Whit Merrifield, if he were to be moved, I don't think that's really about anything. It'll be more about Bobby Witt probably getting some run if that trade actually goes down. According to John Heyman of MLB Network, the Twins are willing to listen to trade offers for Byron Buxton. Because didn't Buxton turn down a contract extension?
Yeah, he did. He turned down a contract extension, and that's when they're kind of like, all right, let's go ahead and move him to. I mean, the Twins could look completely different next year, you know. Yeah. No, I mean, Nelson Cruz might sign back. That was my whole thing when we were talking about it last week, was, you know, if he loves that franchise so much, go play for Tampa Bay for a while, try to get yourself a ring, and sign back with the Twins next year. He loves the organization, so I could see that happening. But
well, the Twins Buxton also have Buxton Berrios prospects that are close, so
right, but yeah, and Buxton Berrios were the guys that, you know, we're supposed to usher in the new era of Twins baseball, right? And they did well. They made the playoffs a couple years back and had some.
If you're
going to
blow it up, blow the whole goddamn thing up. That's what they should be doing.
If you've learned one thing from the Diamondbacks on not what to do, go ahead and do that.
You know, so. You want to talk about Marte with the Giants. I think the Giants going after Buxton would make all the sense in the world. You know, just like try to a big swing of a play if you're going to make a move, because
they really need another guy on their IL. So,
well, I mean, you know, I think this one is really tough. I see why they would explore it with contract stuff. I think this one is tougher than any of the others, but you just can't take it off the table. And, you know, what does it open up? I mean, Larnick is already there. Unfortunately, they already lost Kirilloff, so it's not going to like open up any more playing time. They also lost Royce Lewis for the year, but a lot of their prospects are, you know, they're getting closer. I think I mentioned Jose Miranda as a guy in the infield they could bring up. Brent Rooker's getting some time. They've just got a whole class of guys that are coming, so it makes sense why they would make some of these moves. But just know that Buxton is he's kind of on the market right now. And that and Buxton, by the way, a trade of Byron Buxton would be the cursor where I would jump over and I'd be like, oh, yeah, this trade deadline's way bigger than I thought. Like, yeah. It's way, way bigger, because he would be one of those. There's a couple other guys on this. Heyman also reports that the Phillies are in on Craig Kimbrel as a closer, and he would get to continue being a closer in Philly. So that would be a solid, solid spot. Morrissey. John Morrissey of MLB Network reports that Jose Ramirez could be available in the trade deadline. And this is one.
Yeah, this is kind of a, I don't know how much I believe this. I think this is a, let's go ahead and just see what someone would be willing to pay, you know?
Yeah.
And so, you know, kick the tires, get all that stuff
light
going.
The fires, fired it up.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Thank you, Harry Connick Jr. So, yeah, I think kick the tires, see what you can get. But it would have to be an overwhelming deal for them to flip Jose Ramirez.
The other one is, I saw out there, I don't know who reported it, but it was that the Mets were going to acquire one of Bryant, Baez, I'm forgetting the third guy, it might have been Marte, that the Mets are in on an offensive piece. And they are going to acquire one of the bigger offense. Oh, it was Story. That's what it was. It was, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, moving Story the center, and, right? That was the plan because they have Francisco Lindor. So get Story and move him to center.
Whatever it is. You got Story, Baez, and Bryant all on the table for the Mets to potentially acquire. So you know what? Hand up. I thought due to the upcoming CBA, this stuff was going to be tougher. I thought teams would hold on even harder to controllable assets. But I think in the same vein of what's going on in the CBA, teams are just not sitting around. They're just not screwing around because, you know, the guys that could be coming up for contracts soon, if they can't get it done pre-CBA, I think teams want to move off, even if there's an extra year of eligibility of control. And I think that's what you saw with guys like Adam Frazier. And teams are just not screwing around. If you're a free agent or you're even in 2 years away and you're not getting a contract extension, things could fire up and it's going to be kind of a crazy deadline. Eloy Jimenez Eloy is back.
He's Bogman. Back.
He is back. What do you think the projection systems have for him rest of year? I just pulled them up.
Okay. I'm going to take a crack at like a 260-ish average, 10 homers. I have no idea on runs and RBI.
How many games?
I guess there's what, 55 left? 50, 45.
Okay, so very interesting. You nailed a couple points to Steamer. Steamer has 51 games. But well, actually, only nailed one really there. But you nailed the homers for the Bat X, which projected at 10. Steamer has projected at 12, but the batting average is higher at 280. 280 on Steamer and 280 okay. on the Bat X. 34 RBIs, which by the way, him only playing 55 games. If he plays these last 50, he would be projected to end the year as at 26 homers. 55 runs, 75 RBIs, and like a 285 batting average. Like that's still pretty good. Like that's not far off where, you know, you're gonna smack him and, you know, not have like good value going into next year. He's a great buy. He's a great rest of season, but he's not a great buy right now because, you know, he's back. He's going to go back to Eloy values, but he's out there. Eloy Jimenez returning, activated today as we're recording this from that pectoral injury way sooner than we thought. And likely later this week, you're going to see Luis Robert because Luis Robert, I think, took a jump up from Winston-Salem, if I'm remembering this correctly. And he's already moving through getting games. I can't imagine. I mean,
that's the White Sox trade deadline right there, right?
It is 100%
getting those guys back.
Yeah, man. I mean, all they've essentially lost is Nick Madrigal. So it is funny to look back because they were trying to get Adam Frazier. They missed out on it. I think the Diamondback, I still think Eduardo Escobar and the White Sox make a lot of sense. And that's probably still something that can happen now that Adam Frazier is off the market. I think it changes that middle infield market. But the White Sox don't have to feel as obligated to go crazy at the deadline because of their offensive acquisitions. They should be looking at pitching. They should be looking at both sides, the bullpen and starting pitching. I think that's where they'll be a little bit more active. But Eloy is out. You know, I don't recall this, Boggs. I had multiple people telling me like it was with the Acuna injury where people were like gun shy about dropping because people had been dropping Eloy. I don't remember like, were we like big drop Eloy people out
there?
Well,
I mean, he didn't get kept in a league that I draft right before the season starts. And I took him in the seventh round as a grab and stash. So yeah, people thought this was going to be, I mean, they kind of said this is going to be a long road for him to recover. And It was. I mean, it's 5 months, you know, or whatever it was, right? So April, May, June, July. So actually 5 months, he kind of cut it to 3.5. So you take 6 weeks off that injury, you add 6 weeks to the season right now of what we thought it was going to be. And that's pretty much the whole season. Maybe he's back the last month as a maybe. And this year, with all of the injuries and all the guys going on the IL at some point this season, it's understandable to you can rationalize yourself to drop a guy with his talent because, look, maybe he comes back the last month of the season. Then what am I even getting?
You know? Well, at this point, I think you're getting a second round player. I think you're getting that second, third round player somewhere in there. We'll see, you know, how slow it is to go. And, you know, he's not going to be in the infield or he's not going to be in the outfield at all. And I can't imagine he's going to, not that he ever really does run, but, you know, there's going to be a whole lot of running in his future, anything like that. But Eloy Jimenez back on the other injury front. And all the other news, Dodgers placed Mookie Betts on the 10-day IL, right hip inflamation. That one's brutal.
Finally.
Would you trade your Mookie to get Eloy right now? Rest of season redraft, trade deadline, couple days away. A lot of trade deadlines are like this Sunday. That's can trade Mookie, who's on the IL, to acquire Eloy, who just got back for the DH.
I don't think I would. I think I would go down with the ship with Mookie, but I think this is what he needs. He needs to go on the IL because he's been in and out of the lineup the whole damn year. So give him a couple weeks off, let him fully recuperate, and then bring him back for the stretch run and for the playoff run and everything. So I think it's smart they're finally putting him on the IL. I think they should have done it a while ago.
Yeah. And I was looking at his rest of season. Paddocks, though, has him at 56 games rest of season, 13 homers, 6 stolen bases, .292 batting average, more runs than RBIs. But Paddocks only had Eloy at 39 games with 10 homers and lower run in RBI numbers. I think it's in the general range. I think it's something to consider with Mookie being out. But I agree, Mookie is going to be back. He'll be good once he comes off of the IL and the stolen bases. And we've also seen Mookie be like, you know, Mr. August before.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, exactly. That second half, he always goes ham.
Yeah.
So
Mike Trout said he felt something in a calf area and he's going to be seen by a doctor today. This according to Joe Madden. He just didn't feel right. We thought he was going to be active last week because he was with the team. Yeah. So
remember last week when we thought he was going to be active and now he's stopping his rehab because of a calf issue. Great.
Remember when we did that post All-Star break best ball and I took Mike Trout and I was like super excited about it. And I will say though,
should we check in on the standings?
I am looking right now. I was last place on the,
but
first week.
You got to separate by, because it has like the, for, I looked at it before, the standings are weird on, you know, on FanTrax, but you have to go by period, not by season.
Okay, by period, I'm still the same. I'm second to last. I've moved up.
That's right, Toby. Eat it.
Because remember, yeah, Toby is in last. He's going to have to sit down there because I've got some injured guys that I was betting on for the second half. One of the worst part here. Here's one of the most brutal parts, Boggs. My second baseman, I drafted Cattell to come back, but I also drafted Vidal Brujan and Josh Rojas, who one is in the minors and one is out. So I have no second baseman going right now, which is brutal. I got Corey Seager, who's coming back. But guess who also I drafted? Eloy Jimenez, who's going to be back today. And I have Mike Trout on there. Also had Shane Bieber, who got put on the 60-day IL. So I've got some guy. I still got a chance. I got a chance to make a big run in the second half. That's what I was betting on in the second half best ball. But, you know, I need Trout to get back and him feeling whatever he was feeling. I need him to feel good. I need him to be in the feels, not the bad feels.
I'm in third.
Are you in third?
I'm doing all right. Let's see who has been the big, I have Eric Haas, who's been hitting some bombs. Vlad obviously is who's carrying me. God, I've already got guys on the IL. I've already got, Garrett Cooper, Jazz Chisholm, Crawford, Carrasco working his way back. Peterson went on the IL immediately. So, yeah, I'm doing okay, but I have some IL issues as well.
I got a couple of them. Gavin Lux resumes sprinting on Sunday as he's working back from that left hamstring strain. We'll see what he does, too, because the Dodgers have a bunch of weird stuff. Corey Seager is now expected to come and play out here in the A's. I am so pissed, dude, because I was planning to go tomorrow on Tuesday, because I'm almost 100% positive he'll be at Camelback Ranch, but work is going to get in the way.
And work.
It's super boo. Like, I might be able to come and see
it. I don't want
to
work. I want to watch Corey Seager in the ACL.
I want to watch Corey Seager ACL. Every day. I don't want to work. I just want to watch Corey Seager at Camelback Ranch. But Gavin Lux may have to do the same thing. Also, Cody Bellinger, they're saying, could play first base on Sunday against the this coming Sunday against the Rockies. That was supposed
to be this Sunday
or last Sunday.
Yeah, yesterday as we're recording this, and he didn't. So they're not going to play today. So maybe he plays tomorrow. So,
you know, the Dodgers have their own little White Sox situation of a trade deadline where they're getting, like, I think Muncy just got back or just got activated. Seager's about there. Lux is coming back. Bellinger, and then the pitching is a little.
And then they'll get Betts back at some point.
Yeah, exactly.
Just put him on the IL too. So.
According to Craig Counsell, the Brewers are going to continue to deploy tandem pairings to pitch games the rest of the year in order to keep starting pitchers fresh. And I think from
this
a team perspective, it's great. Sucked. Fantasy, it sucks balls.
Yeah, it sucks. Because what did I think? Freddie went 4 the other day, and then they yanked him and put in Hauser. So they're going to do the. I mean, it's not going to. I don't know if it's going to be announced. This is just a weird thing that they're doing. I guess it's a smart move.
If you're
going to
do that, by the way, put Freddie on the back end, please. Like, let the other guy go 3. Get
really?
An opener. Oh, absolutely. Are you kidding me? Because I want the win. So, yeah, give me any other person to go 3 innings and Freddie to go the next 4 or 5.
That's true.
So he can pick
go
up 5
for the win. Otherwise, you know, who the bullpen's going
to
get it. So
you just
well
have to be at
the bullpen.
Yeah,
right.
You got to be in at the 5th inning. Yeah, please don't be the starter. Be the guy that goes a little bit later if they're going to do this. But this is what I thought the Padres should do. With all their guys, with, you know, you got Weathers and you've got, you know, it. Well,
they should definitely do
it
with Snell since they're not letting him go late at all. Just
Snell,
do that with him.
Maybe
Snell or Weathers would be a nice, just do those guys every 5th days.
Yeah. And then go acquire Barrios. Yeah. And just have like 2 or 3 TAMs. I don't think the TAMs is the worst idea for real baseball. It's horrific for fantasy. Something to consider. Would that make you want to move Freddie Peralta right now?
No, because they're not going to do it every start with him. So I'm just going to take what I get with Freddie for the rest of the year. He's already been so far above and beyond what you expected. I think I would take the, you know, what are they going to do this twice in a month? They're not going to do it.
Well, they said they're going to do tandems the rest of the year.
Yeah, but it's not every start. It's just to limit their innings. So
check this out.
It's not like every time Freddie starts, he's going to have a guy on the back end. It's going to be like maybe every other time or every third time.
Would
just
you
to limit
trade
his innings.
Freddie Peralta to get Luis Castillo, who Luis Castillo over the last month, 2 wins, 39 strikeouts, a 1.4 ERA, a 1.16 whip, right around the top 50 overall. That's the last month, that you don't have tandem pairings. And he has a 0.69 ERA, a better ERA than whip over the last 2 weeks. Trade Peralta away for a playoff run to add Luis Castillo. Straight up, you don't get anything else. You got to trade Peralta, and you can get, maybe you get like a, I don't know, like a little tiny thing, like a Miles Straw for some stolen bases or something, but that's it.
I mean, I think you have to consider it. I don't think it's a, no, Freddie's been too good. Yeah. But I also don't think it's an automatic pull the trigger either. I think that's one that you groan about. You're like, oh yeah, I see it. Yeah. I see how it can work. But I don't know if I want to trade Freddie. So, because
yeah, I agree.
So
I don't know if you want to do it, but I just think it's a trade that you can
I think it's
do.
Fair. Yeah.
And it's something to consider if you're going to have more tandem pair, like, you know, Burns and Woodruff, like, does it change? No, but, you know, could it limit, like, if they're just going to potentially be quicker to pull the trigger because of the innings, it is something absolutely to consider overall that maybe if you can get a, if it's a 1-for-1 or, you know, you can get a guy that's a little bit underperformed that's moving up. You know, Castillo's a perfect example. Like, he still has some of the bad stigma, but he's been pretty good as of recent. That would be a good guy to acquire in the second half. Patrick Sandoval took a no-hitter into the 9th inning on Saturday, struck out 13.
And that was fun to watch.
8 2/3 and beat the Twins.
And I think, who was it, Rooker, that had the hit off of him? And it was a, like, check swing opposite field dunker that landed right in between the first baseman and the right fielder, like right inside the line too. Is a tough way to lose it. But yeah, Patrick Sandoval looked incredible. Herman had one not nearly as late, but he carried it pretty late on Sunday as well and had 10 strikeouts. So there's Yeah, there's been a couple of those no-no watches for sure.
Burning through the rest, Joe Ross returned from the IL. He's going to face the Phillies today. Been pretty good this year. Alex Bregman is going to begin a rehab assignment with the AAA Sugarland in the coming days. So maybe you get him next week.
The Sugarland Skeeters. Let's go. The
Skeeters.
I don't know if they're still, that might've been an independent league team. So, because remember, didn't Roger Clemens pitch for them when he was suspended or something? I don't know. There's something weird going on.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Flaherty is going to start for AAA Memphis on Tuesday. So we're getting really close to being back. Alec Manoah threw a simulated game on Monday in Florida. Padres activated Ryan Weathers and he hit a goddamn home run, which was pretty awesome. And Jacob DeGrom threw off a mound on Sunday for the first time since being shut down. So all good signs as you guys are closing in on your trade deadline with some very tradable assets. I think dynasty leagues, Jacob DeGrom, I see popping up a whole lot. A couple others, Framil Reyes was scratched. These are guys that are getting hurt from the Indians lineup with lower back spasms. Drew Smyly left Saturday's game against the Phillies. Twins placed Luis Arraez on the 10-day IL with a right knee sprain. Still could bring Jose Miranda up, a guy that you guys should tentatively look to maybe pick up if he gets playing time. Max Scherzer not starting on Saturday against the Orioles. Actually, this one should have been in our trade stuff due to right tricep discomfort. Also, heavy rumors out there about a Max trade, which I just cannot fathom the Nationals doing. But one of the teams that are being thrown out, Boggs, the Rays. You imagine Scherzer going to the Rays?
I mean, push your chips in. You just went and got Nelson Cruz, right? Go do it. But you know, the trade deadline being on Friday and him having this triceps thing, if this was a real thing, you know, and not just let's not hold have him back play. And,
I think that's a little bit more what it was.
I mean, it could be, but if this is a real thing, then it's almost impossible to trade him because it's hard to trade. You know, you really going to trade for a guy on a 1-year deal when he's banged up,
but how much,
even if he's as good as Scherzer,
how much is Scherzer going to get? I mean,
if it makes the price on him cheaper, I can see a bunch of teams doing it, but if they still want a bunch for him, it's going to be hard to pull a trigger on it.
Gun to your head, yes or no, he gets traded?
Yes.
I'm going to say no. But yeah. I mean, I was wrong about Nelson Cruz. Trevor Rogers, IL, 10-day lower back muscle spasms, your potential rookie of the year. And Yadier Molina was not in Saturday's lineup against Red, didn't play Sunday with a neck issue. So that's all the trady McTrade issues that are out there, injury McInjury issues that are out there, and there's so many of them, and they're going to keep going, and this next week is going to just be filled with, you know, the trade stuff left and right. And I fully expect, you know, even into tomorrow to start seeing like trickle down trades maybe every single day and some big prospects. And remember, it's not just about the guy getting acquired. It opens up some ability from, you know, Bobby Witt on for some players to get some playing time, and it is going to potentially kill playing time for some others, like let's say Vidal Brujan. I think the Nelson Cruz trade was one more issue that made it difficult for Vidal to come back up the rest of the season and do work after hitting 096, because there's less flexibility as these teams start to construct some of their rosters. So any of the questions, you know, we can hit that up as you guys have them. Let's go take a look though. We have pulled together the leaders since the break. We'll look over on Yahoo, and we'll look at their algorithm and the physical, actual statistical leaders as well. A little bit of fan graphs right after this.
In this league,
somebody royally forked up. Somebody forked up. Why can't I say fork?
If you're trying to curse, you can't hear.
Full shirt.
Holy mother forking shirt balls.
Leaders since the break. Leaders since the break. Break, break. Leaders since the break. Break, break. Leaders since the break. Break, break.
See, like Jay and Silent Bob.
F. When I get your head bobbing, I can't stop singing. Like, I immediately got you.
Well, that's why I did it, because it's so ridiculous, you know.
It's so stupid. Leaders since the break, which is like what? Like 2 weeks? 2 weeks?
Yeah. It's less than 14 days. But
yeah,
since the break extended beyond that, we can look at the leaders. And your number one hitter, the Welsh, Freddie Freeman, since the break.
Well, from every...
talked about Freddie Freeman. And we talked about him, you know, being really great before the break. We looked at his BABIP him having just the worst luck of any hitter.
Yeah.
And he started to pick this up before the break, and post-break, he's the number one player so far on Yahoo.
Yeah, I think it was like batting average was just like crazy low going into the break. He's up to 289 right now. So hold on. Where the hell was he? Because he was down at like 230.
That is in like 260 at one point.
The game log. I love when the game log tells me their batting average at that time. And this is just not going to tell me.
Baseball Reference is better at that.
Yeah. But Freddie Freeman up to 289. Leader in runs, tied with Mitch Haniger and Tommy Pham, by the way, since the break. Ridiculous. For 12 runs, he's had 8 RBIs, which is not a leader. So there's no other leaders anywhere else. But I believe from a batting average perspective, he might be the guy close. He's number 3, a 441 batting average. Your leaders, a batting average, Starling Marte with a 459 since the break. And look at this, Harrison Bader, dude, 457. But here's a big, massive difference. This is actually a really good experiment. So check this out. Of the 10 top batting average players since the break, but 3 have a over 400 BABIP. Some have a 500 BABIP. Starling Marte has a 552 BABIP as number 1. Harrison Bader, 538, the highest Bader's BABIP of everybody. But check this out. Number 10. With a 394 batting average, Juan Soto with only a 304 BABIP. And would you know?
I love that Juan Soto is saying that the home run derby helped his swing.
I know.
Get more guys in to the home run derby eventually.
Yeah. Well, because it's so anti like establishment of home run derby where everyone's like, ooh, it messes with my swing and it's not good.
Dude,
and
blah, Pete Alonso's been rocking too. So
yeah. But check this out, Bugs. The other player, the other player with a not 400 BABIP who's hitting like this is Freddie Freeman. He has a 441 BABIP, but he's beaten that BABIP, 379 BABIP. So again,
and just looked just from the beginning of the season to June, to the end of June, he was hitting 261, which is just, for Freddie. That's not what you expect, especially since he hit. I mean, it was only 60 games last year, but didn't he hit like 330? I mean, it was crazy.
But he's now up to 289. It's amazing because of the top 10 best batting average players, all of them, except for Soto and Freeman, their BABIP is higher than their batting average, for those three.
Since July 1st, if we're just looking before the break too, Freddie's hitting 408 with 404 BABIP. And 6 homers. So that's just in the month of July. So
I was saying BABIP. You're saying BAPIP. You really enunciated
BAPIP. BAPIP. Yeah. BABIP.
BAPIP.
I don't know. You just say it faster, I think, is all.
I think that's what it is. Oh, by the way, Juan Soto, the number 2 player since the break as well. 6 homers, 13 RBIs.
Yeah, he's been
all right. Yeah, he's been okay. He's been doing just fine in that period of time, which I think, how do you have this sort? Yes, his last couple days.
I just had that by runs.
Yeah, he's like top 2 round over the season. He's going to be able to finish just okay. But what is interesting is he's going to fall out of that conversation of the like tied to. Well, Acuña versus Soto is a really interesting debate because I think it's, you could throw it out there. I think it's hard to argue that like Tatis isn't the number 1 dynasty player right now with Acuña's injury. And, just you have to take that for what it is. But like, then you throw in Otani, then you throw in Vlad, but like Soto versus Acuña is fascinating because Acuña, perceivable number 1 with an injury. Soto, who had a really slow start picking it back up, like what direction? Is it still clearly Acuña who has this massive injury? I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure that it is. I think in Dynasty, you've never had a wilder top 5 or 6. And that's not even, I didn't even throw out Mookie Betts and Mike Trout, by the way, when you're talking about those guys. Juan Soto also is tied for the lead in home runs since the break. The other player he's tied with is the number 3 hitter in fantasy since the break, Chris Taylor, who has 6 homers, 10 runs, batting .333, 14 hits in 42 at-bats since the break.
I mean, Chris Taylor he's one of those guys, like, if you didn't think Adam Frazier was going to work, look at what Chris Taylor's doing, with the Dodgers. And the Dodgers have had a ton of injuries. You mentioned it before with all the guys, they're going to have more guys coming back than the White Sox have, which is crazy. Which, by the way, love that Yermin, he was in the lineup the day after his retirement.
We forgot to talk about that. 20. Yeah. I mean, that is like,
We talked about it on the radio show, and then the next day he was in the lineup. So I recorded with Bubba the next day. So we talked about it there, but that was hilarious.
You know? That was wild, dude. Like, but it wasn't just like this little like question mark thing. It was like Instagram announcement. It was like he got drunk and he got in his feels and he was just like, yeah, I'm just the Germinator. But I don't know if you also saw, this was fascinating. Ozzie Guillen went in on him.
Did he really?
On him. Oh, yeah.
He what did a this surprise. Whole, Ozzie Guillen had a controversial statement.
Well, he went in being like, you know, all those reports I get of people on you are bad, that he's a me player, that he doesn't want to do this and that. He calls himself the Germinator. Like, Ozzie was going in like essentially being like, this guy is all about me. He's a total millennial, doesn't care about his team. He doesn't listen to anybody. It was just trashing
your. How about, you know, Ozzie Guillen did the same thing to Adam Eaton, too. He threw him completely under the bus. He said, look, all I know, Adam Eaton got in some argument or he was in a fight or something. He was like, all I know is we had Adam Eaton when we won the World Series and everybody hated him. And I was like, oh, my God. Like, that's
he's not necessarily
Ozzie
wrong.
Doesn't give an F.
Ozzie doesn't give an F, but whatever. He's not like wrong. He's picking these players. Like Adam Eaton's got a little bit of a toed thing as well.
Yeah, for sure. But I mean, I don't know. That's just to me like.
Wasn't he the one that
I like Ozzie, but I would never make him a manager of my team ever.
Wasn't you had delivered something? Wasn't the player like you want to meet a baseball player? And wasn't it
Ryan Wheeler, dude? It was. Yeah. It was Ryan Wheeler. Was like, I had a D-backs hoodie on. I was delivering pizzas. And the guy goes, you want to meet a baseball player? Here you go. Adam Eaton right here. And Adam Eaton, I think, was in our farm system. And I think he'd come up.
He was a Diamondback
for a little bit. Yeah, he was a Diamondback. Yeah. But he had broken his hand. So I saw he's in a cast. I'm like, how's it going with the hand? He said, it's getting better. You know, all this stuff, which surprising. At the time I met him, he couldn't shake my hand because he had a broken hand. Because he's always on the injured list. But. And then Ryan Wheeler had just the, I can't even say what he said to me on the show. It was fairly graphic about, they were buddies because they were coming up with the Diamondbacks together, but we had traded Wheeler to the Rockies and he made a comment about getting back at the D-backs. And like I said, I can't even say it on the show.
I don't even remember what it was.
Yeah. So stick it, you know, the D-backs. So, they were nice, but Ryan Wheeler was hammered, so it was pretty funny. And then they had some other like Arena League football kicker in there with him with them too, who they must have grown up with or something.
Want to meet an Arena League kicker,
dude? He did that to me too. Ryan Wheeler did that. This did guy really? Plays in the Arena League. I'm like, great, okay. Wow, well, anyway, cool, here's your pizzas. I'll see you guys later. Adam Eaton, he was nice dude.
And now he's with the Angels. Here's a very surprising one. I want to see where he sits on. Yeah, he sits at number 8 as far as hitters go on this list, which actually the top 12 are all hitters over the last since the All-Star break, since we've gotten back, at least Yahoo's like 5x5 algorithm. Number 8 is one of just those crazy pickup guys, you know, get where you can. Only 10% rostered. Lamont Wade. Used to be with the Twins. I saw him in the fall league when he was a Twins player. Has 5 homers with a stolen base and 10 RBIs while hitting .323 since we have returned. And he is 2nd in baseball, tied with Pete Alonso and Mitch Haniger in that period of time on homers. But he does have a...
I think he hit 2 yesterday. Yeah, he's been great.
And, got a 31% strikeout rate, which you don't love, but
yeah, I mean, so yeah, he's a guy that you pick up and you ride the hot wave and then dump him as soon as he cools down again. But it doesn't matter who gets hurt on the Giants. They just keep hitting. Yastrzemski was out for a while. Now Crawford, who is hitting, is out. Thairo Estrada has picked it up. Lamont Wade comes in and starts hitting. Mike Yastrzemski gets banged up. Somebody steps up. It's crazy what they're doing you know, you look at the lineup and you go, this isn't crazy impressive, but with Gausman pitching the way he has and the lineup keeps smashing, they're still in first. Everyone's been waiting for the Dodgers to overtake them the whole year, and it just hasn't happened.
Here's a surprising one. Since we've returned from break, Boggs, do you know who the stolen base leader is? Have you looked?
No, I haven't. Is it Witt?
It's not Witt. He's not.
He might not even be on the list.
I don't even see him since the break.
Who's the leader?
Bryce Harper. is your
leader. Harper.
Remember I told you, Bryce, that's one of the things I always like about Bryce, and that's why I did the comparison with Kelenic, because, I mean, Kelenic has just got, you got to put the ball, like, the bat on the ball at some point, which he's just not doing. But Kelenic had that Bryce Harperness in him, and that, like, I feel like he could adjust, and where he's not hitting power, he would steal, blah, blah, blah. Harper's up to 12 stolen bases now, and five of them have come since the post-break. So it's a lot of manufacturing right now. .288 batting average, and he has been, I mean, just great. And but, you know, I'm looking here, the algorithm, he's not in the top 25 of any of this since the break. And he has hit .333, but he has no homers in that time. So again, no homers, but he makes do by making sure he's stealing bases, not striking out a whole ton, but .333 batting average, a .474 OBP, and a .5 slug. So a .3.
He's 34. So he's not that far behind, but with no homers, is that's actually fairly impressive with no homers to be there. I should have guessed Glaber, because I know, didn't Glaber steal like three over the weekend or something?
He is tied for second with, surprisingly, Greg Allen, former Indians of the Yankees, and Starling Marte. Glaber Torres, four stolen bases, three homers while hitting .300 since returning from the All-Star break. And he was almost a lost cause. He's got his batting average up now to .246, six homers and 10 stolen bases. I want to point something out real quick. Check this out. He is two stolen bases away from tying his entire major league career in stolen bases. Entire 2018, 19, and 20 all combined.
Well, that's
combined.
Just letting him run. I mean, honestly, that's just...
not doing anything else.
Yeah, the Yankees. He ranks 11 since the break right now. So he's getting back on that horse. So let's hope he picks it up, because he didn't give you anything before the break. It was brutal with him.
No, he's been relatively brutal this whole time, but he's picking it back up, and, you know, trades a tradesman when you can make him work. Dalton Varsho, he's in the discussion. He has been pretty good. And I know, I just want to point this out. I know people want to troll me a little bit, but I get the win here, because my point was never that I didn't like Dalton Varsho. It was never that I didn't like him. I did not like drafting him because it was stupid, because he wasn't going to make the team. And guess what? He didn't make the team, and he has not become fantasy relevant since
until Kelly went out and Vogt got traded
in July. And guess what? I have him in half of my leagues now. I picked him up everywhere. I dropped our boy Barwich. Screenshotted it to be like, look at this business. I dropped Keston Hira for Dalton Varsho in a league. I did this like a month ago, because
I mean, that's the right move. So
it made no sense to pick him up or to draft him. You pick him up, and that's what got me so pissy about him. And look at him now. He is starting in center field. Kelly's going to come back. He's rehabbing, and he'll probably be center field the rest of the year. Two stolen bases, three homers, eight RBIs, 10 since the break. 10 since the break. And that is a guy that qualifies at catcher. That's phenomenal. The only other catcher that's
three homers, he had 3 days with homers in a row until Sunday. He didn't hit one, but I mean, he's been
great bat. I always love the guy. Great bat. He can run. He makes good contact skills, but we've seen
people thought he was going to start in center field, and we never thought that.
No,
we had reports
a month out that he wasn't going to make the roster, not about right. The outfield, and people didn't believe it, and people were taking him inside the, we saw top 100s and stuff like that. It was nonsense. That's why I got so pissed off in that blind pitcherless pitch con mock thing, because it was right. Like, we're taking him as our starting catcher. No, but I mean, in that format of a best ball, it actually works out a lot better, because I also, I don't think we took him, but I wanted Gary Sanchez, and Gary Sanchez was a good hot start, but now he's picking up. The only other catcher that is doing some business, Will Smith, by the way, who's a great dynasty option, four homers, .333 with 14 RBIs since the break. That is the most
homer yesterday.
And that's the most RBIs since the break. And that's why the Dodgers kind of keep rocking with it. You're just giving a couple other guys here. Soto and Meadows are next up on RBIs. Your leader in runs was Freddie Freeman, tied with Mitch Haniger, Tommy Pham. Then you got Chris Taylor and Fernando Tatis Jr. We did your batting average. Any other of these? Let's look at slugging. Let's see who our slugging leader is since coming back from the break. Can you take a guess?
Soto.
It is Soto. You're right. The only one with a 1,000% slugging. Lamont is a .968 since returning. Will Smith, Dalton Varsho, Mitch Haniger. Fun point. All of them except for Varsho, very reasonable BABIP. Varsho is a 438. The rest are in the low threes. Mitch Haniger at 286 with a, you know, massive, massive line on slugging. Your next to 10 is Freeman, Alonso, Matt Olson. I said Chris Taylor at six, and Teoscar Hernandez with a 778, almost a three. Well, it's, I guess a 237 guy. It's ridiculous. Four homers, 11 RBIs. As far as the ranks go, some other names, Charlie Blackmon is heating up just in time for the trade deadline. Six homers, two stolen bases on the stupid year, but he ranked 15th since the return. He is 12 of 32 since coming back. Akil Badu has been rocking, top 20. Akil Badu,
he's just going to be that guy that gets on these heaters. Like, I think this is his third or fourth one of the year where
Akil Badu, you're that guy, bud. You are that guy.
So yeah, he just gets on these heaters where he is incredible for like 2 weeks, and then he goes back down to being like a quad A player, and then, you know, all-star level. It's crazy with him.
Yeah, it is. On the pitching side, let's just take a look at a couple of them. Your number one pitcher, Corbin Burnes, since the return, 18 strikeouts, a 0.63 ERA. He's got a better ERA than WHIP. So he is your number one. Matt Harvey.
I mean, he only has six strikeouts in 12 innings, but he hasn't given up a run since the break in two starts. So,
Alfred, does Adriana Lima want me back? Does she want me back?
I think she said you need to lose some more weight.
I'm the second best pitcher of baseball.
I'm so good. Remember when he was just like the top of the world? He, 12 innings, only six strikeouts, but has not given up a run. He's the second best. He's ridiculous. He's not getting strikeouts, but he got wins in Baltimore. Patrick Sandoval is number three, especially after that outing he just had over the weekend. 22 strikeouts. I want to say since the break, that is the most. Yeah, it's the most strikeouts. And I think he's pitched the most innings, to be fair. Shamanaya, number two in strikeouts, so the 2.92 ERA in 12 innings. Gerrit Cole, Kikuchi, and then Burnes as far as the leaders go. Some of the other guys that top up on the list, Tuki Toussaint is actually on there. There's a decent 10
strikeouts yesterday. Yeah,
and he had a good start against San Diego. Toussaint's got a great pitch mix. He just could never be consistent. I saw him spin five no-hit in an Arizona Fall League game where he was throwing four different pitches, and then I saw him give up four runs in two-thirds of an inning in Arizona Fall League. He's just super inconsistent.
It's the Akil Badu of pitchers.
Totally. That's a great comparison. The Akil Badu of guys. Some other names in there. A lot of relievers. Jameson Taillon has actually been pretty good. You know, someone we haven't talked about, Boggs. Tyler McGill. I mean,
I picked him up in our long-term dynasty, and the dude is great. He just keeps striking out everyone. He may not go deep in games, but he strikes out a ton every time out.
Gone sick. Well, I mean, he only struck out two against Pittsburgh, but he did strike out five in the last one. But he had at least seven in his previous three starts. I mean, you're going to monitor some innings, but he's been a great pickup. He's a great stash right now. Guys like him and Luis Garcia, those are just great stashes on pitching staffs, and the Mets have kind of put some of those together. Is there any other pitcher that stands out? I mean, Daniel Lynch has had a really good start.
Gregory Soto has four saves already after the break, and Ranger Suarez has three. Who else in here? Your boy Kimbrel has three. Joakim Soria is terrible. His ERA is over six, but he has three. And of course, the one that I was at, I saw him get blown up. Edwin Diaz, they just refused to take out of the closer's role. His ERA since a break is 12, but he has two saves. So looks like he's going to keep going.
Yeah, he'll keep rocking with that. Looking at this also, just want to point out, I feel like a little vindicated. Like, Merrill Kelly has been pretty good since the break. 14 innings, a 3.86 ERA, a couple wins, and 12
strikeouts.
He's
had a good year.
Yeah, he's just been one of those guys. And I remember I had him like inside my top 300, which was like, it felt a little dicey, and he had that injury. But I mean, the dude has five wins in his last seven starts, and he has gone at least six in five of those. And he didn't pick up the wins where he went 5 1/3, but he struck out guys. He really hasn't given up a whole bunch of runs. I think he's given up less than three runs in all of those starts, maybe sans that Chicago start. So, you know, seven of the last eight, he hasn't given up three runs. I mean, he has been pretty damn good. A great streaming option on the back half of the year.
Yeah. And you know, his, I think he ranks in the 300 still, just because his ERA is still up over four, and all that, but he's been good for a little bit now. So if you're looking for a starter for the back half, he's not a bad option.
Yeah, and Robbie Ray still going, by the way. 12 strikeouts.
Robbie Ray is still going.
I know. It pisses
me. Guy's incredible.
Hey, my guy Chris Paddock.
Terrible with us. They fixed him. Yeah, as soon as they get off the D-backs, you know, let's find the success.
Well, I'll point out my guy Chris Paddock has got a 3.6 ERA in 10 innings and 2 wins with a sub-1 whip in his since the break has come back, but he does have 3 strikeouts in that time. But I want to point out, though, it's not the worst thing in the world, because obviously what he's learned is to stop trying to strike everybody out. It's something he was actively doing, and he's moved on to just being a better pitcher and trusting his team. Okay, he has 3 strikeouts, but he's picking up wins. He's going into games. He's not worthless anymore. I think this is a great sign of him finding his confidence and his pitches back that can turn into strikeouts in the back half of the year. So I'm still a buyer on Chris Paddock. You can get him probably as a throw-in on a trade.
And I mean, he better be good coming down the stretch, because Padres, they could trade for a starter, and then who's going to be the odd man out? You don't know. It's gonna be whoever blows up first will probably be the odd man out. So,
or they could just start piggybacking, you know, just get all the pitchers and just piggyback them all.
Snell and Paddock together, that'd be great.
Yeah, I mean, Paddock might not be the worst guy to like go early on in a game. You know, which I hate to say, because that would just destroy any of the minuscule value that I suppose he has. But just pointing out, he was one of those guys who said, you know, maybe in the second half you could buy in on for nothing. And he's picking up wins, and he's maintaining a much better advantage into games. And he's just not striking out guys. And that is repairable. That is fixable. So there you go. That's a take a little look at since the break on some players that have been. We have always said this, that it is a good exercise to remind yourself, you know, like, where are some of your leaders at? Where are some of the guys at? And then, you know, just a conversation around some of the players you can buy and sell on, which leads us to this week's transaction trends.
It's in this league.
Got what plants crave. It's got electrolytes.
What are electrolytes? Do you even know? It's what they used to make.
In this league.
I'm the smartest guy in the world. Says who?
The IQ test you took in prison. Brought to you by Carl's Jr.
As always, we start with ESPN over the last 7 days. Not quite as wonky as it was that previous one where we had the All-Star break. The number one picked up player, Boggs, Tuki Toussaint, went from 1% owned to 39% owned. He is now
a 10 strikeout game will do that for you.
Well, the one before is what I think started to spark it. And then, you know, this last one was just absolutely massive, and people are jumping in on, because he's a real option. I would warn that he could be the poorest of poor man's Ubaldo Jimenez, where it's like, how many starts do you have until he starts breaking up? I'm just warning.
I mean, he's Ubaldo Jimenez couldn't be a more perfect comparison for Tuki, 100%.
Yeah,
he'll go Tukey's, on strike out 10 and then give up 6.
He's smart. He's a smart pitcher. He's got multiple pitches. He can really fling it around, but he can get super inconsistent, can completely lose the zone, and he's got to stack some stuff up to start to prove that that's wrong. Kim, the number two picked up player, 25% change up to 58% owned. Enrique Hernandez, 64% now. It was a 24% change. Josh Harrison up to 46. Look at this dude. Dalton Varsho, only under 25% owned on ESPN. He had a 19% change this last week. He also qualifies at outfield and catcher in that platform.
Yeah.
And he's under 25% owned. That's
wild. He's only 28% owned in Yahoo. So
it's wild. I would go pick him up. I mean, what's you have to pick him up. He is. Let's take a look here. I know one catcher on Yahoo who doesn't play that position, who's not going to be in the top 10 right now. We're not going to talk about him to give a certain person credit, but since the last 2 weeks, Don Varsho is the number two catcher in Yahoo's platform that he qualifies. If we expand it to the last month, he is the number five catcher behind Salvi, Elias Diaz, Will Smith, and Eric Haas, who had a whole bunch of homers. He's the number five catcher in that platform. And even if we open back up, at least he's down there, so it doesn't kill my hate. But Varsho is, he's moving up the ranks. He's moving. By the way, Kiner is still the number two catcher on the season.
And he's hitting like 257 since the break. He just has no counting stats. He has one run and three RBI. So
four game hit streak,
257. But four game hit streak.
Four game hit streak. I'm just saying he's got hits in seven of his last eight games.
I mean, it's just like you said with Varsho. It's never been about the talent. The talent's there. It's about the playing time and what the
Diamondbacks and now the Diamondbacks
and stuff.
And now the Diamondbacks are going to trade off. Peralta should be gone this week. Escobar should be gone this week. Rojas is hurt.
How much catcher has Varsho played?
How many games? That's a good question. He's played enough. Are you talking about like him being able to?
Because Kelly's gone. I mean, you're talking about David Peralta leaving and everything. It just gives him more options to play in.
They got rid of Vogt. I mean,
that's what I said before. That Kelly got hurt and they traded Vogt. He's played 20 games at catcher.
Oh, you already
he started
got it. Okay.
At 10 in center. And right field, he's played two. So 12 games in the outfield, 20 games as catcher. So he bounces between both. And like you said, they trade Peralta. He's an everyday player.
I'm not even worried at this point now, which can be a win for the Varsho crowd if you can have held him for 3 months and feel good about it. It was just a better pickup because he was dropped everywhere, that he's good to go the rest of the season. The Diamondbacks are playing for nothing. They are going. Seth Beer should come up and should play. You can put him in the corner outfield. I think Peralta opens him up a spot. When Cattell comes back, if not traded, Cattell can continue to play in the outfield, or they can put him back at second base because Rojas is hurt. I'm not worried about it. I think Varsho and Beer are two guys that are going to get playing time with the Diamondbacks. Varsho is the one that we care about here. That's the main guy. And under 25%, under 30%, under 50% is stupid. It's hilariously stupid because he should qualify catcher in every platform. Isaiah does not, and he steals and he hits homers. Kiel Badu, just under 50% owned. He had a 17% change. He's 48.8. Josiah Gray had a big bump for his starts. Harrison Bader, Ty France, and Soto. Gregory Soto's under 30% owned on Yahoo right now.
Man, yeah, that's four saves since the break. We just talked about him. Go get him.
Not bad. As far as the drops, the most dropped player, Taiwan Walker. Down from 96 to 75%, over 20% drop. This really after just him getting blown up in his last two starts. He has had two bad starts. Pittsburgh, he went one third of an inning, giving up 5 earned runs. Toronto, he gave up 6 earned runs. And I would pick him back up if he's available out there.
That's a lot of 10-man leagues getting picky.
Yeah, exactly.
So he'll be okay. If next good start, he'll be back up over 90%.
Of that non-injury crew, the number two, because there's like Kirilloff and Jazz and stuff in here. Jake Odorizzi picked up. Jace Peterson, Zach Thompson. I'm sorry, dropped. Zach Thompson, Miles Straw is just at 25%. Vidal Brujan, 6% owned on ESPN now. After his
been terrible.
And he is a easy drop and redraft. Easy redrop and redraft. And we'll see about Dynasty. It's a great time to buy. This would be a time I'd be willing to look and try to buy on him because I just don't see him improving anything this year outside of him doing it in the minors. I just don't see a lot of potential action in the majors. The number one picked up player on CBS, Tuki DeSant, 39% change from 13 to 52% ownership change. Hernandez is number two. He's up to 70% owned. Varsho, 37% owned on CBS.
In a row?
Change, apparently. Josiah Gray, Tanner Houck, Tyler McGill. McGill is 74% owned there. Badu is 71. Bader, Kyle Muller, Patrick Sandoval. I mean, the only guys that are under 50% are Bader, Houck, Varsho, and that's it. All the others are 50% or more owned in that.
I don't think 10. Varsho will be. I think by the end of next week, he'll be up over 50% on most.
I think we'll talk about him again next week because I think he'll have another 25 to 35% ownership.
I mean, just do something early in the week and he'll be very, very picked up.
Most drop players of relevancy, Ross Stripling got a big old drop down, but position players, Nick Solak, who got demoted, 37% owned. He's way under 50. And Vidal Brujan again, he's still 30. Think of this. 36% owned in CBS versus 6% on ESPN. What that also tells you and shows you is the amount of dynasty between the two, because CBS is a big dynasty platform. You got to pay more for it, where ESPN clearly isn't. That ownership change is pretty starkly. Like, I bet if you looked on FanTrax, his ownership would be like 40 or 50% still. Because they're
Who
like
is it?
All dynasty. One Vidal more time? Brujan.
Oh, actually. No, I don't have it pulled up anymore. I was going to say I had a league where I have Bruhan pulled up, but let me see if I can find him real quick.
I'd be curious. I'm going to guess in Fantrax, he is 52%.
Vidal Bruhan ownership. Is ownership. Does it not just say right up here?
Oh, you can't easily do something on Fantrax? Are you kidding me?
Hold on.
This is crazy.
This is, okay.
Are you telling me you can't easily find something on Fantrax? You can't do something that all the other platforms do really easy?
57%.
That's close.
He was drafted in 14.14%. Owned this week is 59%. Owned last week is 67%. So he has dropped 8% because he's not on rosters. But like you said, so many people on Fantrax play in keeper league. So
boy, you trying to tell me Jesus Christ couldn't hit a curveball?
All right, Harris, let's not start a holy war. Okay.
Over on Yahoo, the most added players, Josh Harrison tops the list. These are all always a little bit convoluted, just because of the daily stuff. But you've got Harrison, who's hitting 371, 7 runs. You know, it's just a free ad. Willy Adames, 73% owned. He got some ads, of course, as he should be. Dalton Varsha, 28% owned on Yahoo. Luis Urieth, 231, which it's interesting. People are still going nuts about him. Badu, 51% owned on Yahoo. We've talked plenty about him. Ty France kind of picking it back up, hitting 400 since the break with a homer, 53% owned. I really like that pickup. Though, you know,
Ty France is one of those streaky guys like Badu a lot.
And if the Mariners are out there trying to make acquisitions, Ty France is one of those guys that could potentially lose time. You know, if they were to get more than just Witt. I don't think he pushes into it, but Ty France I still kind of dig, as far as if you're comfortable like being quick movement if he starts to struggle, just get off of him. Harrison Bader, only 12% owned, hitting 457 since a return, 16 of 35.
Yeah,
ride that wave. Brennan Marsh has struggled, even though he was picked up a bunch. He had that one big huge
didn't he
game.
Hit three. How many hits does he have since that first game? Because he had three in his first game, you said
three total.
So he has three total hits in how many more games?
Yeah.
Six total hits. You're right.
So six total. So he had three more. Let me take a look here. Brandon Marsh has played in 1, 2, 7 games. So he had three hits in his second game, and then he's had three hits in this last
scattered over five
games.
Five.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. It's not horrible, but it's not great.
Yeah. It's a bad prospect. Your pitchers, Tuki DeSant, the most added, of course. Cole Irvin. Up to 54%, 3.27 ERA in that time. Not too bad. Kim has got the two wins
yesterday.
Yeah. Josiah Gray, 13 strikeouts, a bunch of strikeouts, but ERA is not there. I wouldn't be surprised if the Dodgers wanted to give Ryan Pepiot or Bobby Miller a look soon with Voldemort's issues, but you know, they could also go acquire. Skubal, I think, just got lit up, but 8 strikeouts. He's been picked up, 11 innings. John Gray is another one of those guys. Please put him on another team.
Preemptive ad right there for John Gray. How what's his ownership percentage?
45%.
That's on Yahoo?
On Yahoo. I pick him up right now. I just pick him up preemptively for this week if a trade goes down. Can you imagine John Gray going to the Cardinals?
Yeah, man. I mean, that it's surprising that it's that low.
Pick up John Gray if he's available, just in.
If you have a spot, just speculative, Adam, you know, in case he gets traded, because he will be worth way more if he gets flipped to anywhere that's not Colorado.
Exactly. Logan Gilbert, 65% owned. ERA isn't great, but 14 strikeouts, been good. Soto's got the saves. He is under 50% owned on Yahoo. Merrill Kelly, there's another one that pops up. 28% owned, who I talked about, 3.86 ERA. Alex Woods got 15 strikeouts in that time. David Price, who I said David Price was a second half guy for me because they were going to start stretching him out. Even more so do they need to start stretching out David Price. Price is, what is his ownership? I went away from it. Only 43% owned.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they're going to stretch him out. Dude, I don't like him. Right.
I used to love him. He used to be literally your favorite player. Just went 5 2/3 in Colorado, struck out 4.
You know, I think when he called fantasy baseball people all nerds, that's a big chunk of your audience, David Price. I just hate people that do stuff like that. Bob Costas did the same nonsense a while back. He's been in and out. He didn't play last year. There's no confidence left in me for him. So that's why. Sure, pick him up and see if he's going to work it out, but I'm not going to go. I would much rather speculative add John Gray than I would David Price.
I don't disagree with that. I think John Gray is better performing.
But that's where we are. You know, that's where we are with David Price now. David Price was a top end pitcher. Like he was a top 10 pitcher for a while. But in John Gray, he's never going to touch that. But he's just not that guy anymore. He's not that guy.
But yeah. And they're both under 50% owned. They're within 2% of each other. So, I mean, I would go with John Gray as well. And I think most people have. But if you play in deeper leagues and David Price is out there, it's not the worst thing in the world. Those are, and you know, as far as like money goes, I'm not even sure we need to get into the fab stuff. It was kind of an all over speculative week of guys that were out there. Varsho, I think, was one of the big gets. Tuki Toussaint would have been as well. I think those would have been two big main focal points as far as guys that you're picking up. Later in the week, we've got Derek Carty from The Bat. The Bat and The Bat X is going to be on with us to talk about just finishing out the rest of the season trades. And, you know, an interesting thing we get to do with him is you get to kind of take a look, because I did this with him about Arenado when he got traded, is like, what do some of the values adjust? You know, if John Gray were to be traded, like, what does that change? Does that change the projections? What happened with, who the hell were we, Whit Merrifield? You know, if Whit Merrifield were to be traded, Adam Frazier, I'm sorry, the Adam Frazier one, what happens with him going with the number one stolen base team and potentially leading off? You know, how does that change the projections? We can talk about.
And that's why I said, you know, because I, like Barwich said, you know, someone had posted, do you like Frazier before or after this trade? I liked him before to think about it because I just don't like part-time players. But that's a stigma that, you know, old guys like me got to get out of my head, you know, because super utility guys like Taylor and Frazier now, I mean, they're just going to have so much value. That's kind of how Witt started too, you know, so.
Yeah, exactly. And we'll be talking about that. We'll also be answering your questions. So if, I'd also say, like, this is not just the MLB trade deadline, but I know a lot of people have August 2nd trade deadlines and maybe a little bit after coming up. So send in your trade questions of whatever you're trying to do or whatever it is, whether it's projections or not. Send them in itlballbag@gmail.com. We can answer them on the show. We got Carty. We're talking projections. He'll probably be on with us to answer some questions. So itlballbag@gmail.com. Send those in. Go and check out Patreon, patreon.com/ITL Army. Sign up. If you got to wait till the beginning of the next month, I get it. It's all good too. But just consider signing up and hanging out and joining the Charlie and the Chocolate Factory and not the Oompa Loompas. There's no Oompa Loompas in ITL at all.
There are not.
Not even remotely close. What height? You're good with heights. What height were the Oompa Loompas?
They were like 4 feet tall, weren't they? 3 feet tall.
Oh, that's four feet's a little. I mean, that's a big discrepancy. 4 feet seems
I don't
like
know.
Almost
I mean,
average.
Look, I'm just looking to see where people line up next to me. They're way shorter than me. I know that. But that's why I don't even think I was nearly as good at that game as you thought I was.
You were pretty good. Like, you would be. I could totally see you as Willy Wonka too. Because like how great would you feel just getting a bunch of just like little Oompa Loompas around? You'd just be like, I'm the tallest man in the world. I could fight crime with all these like.
Little, what was it on Family Guy?
Be specific about how I.
Yeah. The can you reach that cereal? Yes, I can.
Yes, I can. Yes, I absolutely can. Vogman would be the king of all of them. So sign up patreon.com/ITL Army whenever it is. Come and have fun with the secret shows. We've been having a blast at those. Live streams, ranks, all that stuff. Do it today. We're out of here for now. You guys know where to find us on the Twitter at is at the Welsh and at Vogman Sports. And we're back later this week. For Vogman, I'm Welsh. Go, 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 go. Bye now.
For you.